passion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives. Today, we are going to be discussing.
We're going to talk about the real life test today, right?
So, yes, actually, let me go. That is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And this is our first, well, it's our first episode in person since my move.
Yeah, this will be very exciting because this is our first time doing this in person, like here together. You know?
I do know.
First of all, let's talk about what the real life test is.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I'll just explain it from how I know of it. Again, neither of us are doctors. I didn't have to go through it. So the only thing I know about it is from what I've read from other people's experiences or off the internet or stuff like that. I believe it's a portion of time that you have to live as the gender that you want to transition to, clothing-wise, pronoun-wise, at work, home, and in social interactions. So, like, 100% of the time is supposed to be that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a requirement more so for, like, insurance.
Yeah.
Is what I've seen it in relation to.
Right. That, me too.
Before they will allow surgeries or stuff like that.
Yeah, same for me. My experience was that, like, for insurance, I would have had to...
Okay.
Well, it was for insurance, but also, I'm not sure what it had to do with, like, the state, but when I was living in New Jersey, that was, like, their requirement was, like, you had to do several months of therapy before a doctor would sign off on you being able to take hormones. And then, but in that also was, like, yeah, this, like, real-life test that had to be done. And that just didn't sound, like, safe to me or comfortable because, like, I felt like, in a way, I had already lived the real life test. Like, I already was feeling like a guy, and I already was, like, dressing like a guy, and the only thing that was missing was anybody else kind of acknowledging me that way, you know? And, like,
I think that our real life test is living how we were before we transitioned or before we self-realized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it has kind of like the opposite effect because for me anyway, it's very binary.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. It's you are wearing dresses or you're wearing suits and ties. Like, there's no in between. There's no room for non-binary, gender non-conforming people. So I don't know. I was lucky that my insurance company did not require that. They did require letters from therapists, but the therapist that I went to also did not require it, a real life test in it either.
Okay.
So, because I also, you know, I wouldn't know where to fit.
Yeah, what
with
do you
that.
Do?
Yeah.
There's no room for non-binary in this real life test.
Not at all. Not at all. But, and then also, like, going back to your point of it, you know, being dangerous and not being safe is Illinois doesn't have any state protections for non-binary or transgender people.
Okay.
At all. So they do protect, I'm sorry, I'm blanking. They protect sexual orientation, but they do not protect gender identity. they protect it in the private realm, but not at the state level. As far as I know, that was up until this year or even last year.
Okay.
So if you came, that was still a fire. You could be fired for that if you were a city in play. Now, I don't think it was ever really used too much because, you know, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. But it is still a possibility. You could still, it's not illegal to be fired because you're trans.
So you could lose your job.
In Illinois as a city employee. And I was a city employee with the job that I was doing. So there was no room for that. Yeah. So I did not, I lived a real life as in I existed. I didn't change my pronouns at work. I felt like that opened up too much room for intentional hurt. And if I just left it at, I'm just showing up every day, you know, working my ass off and living and presenting still true to myself, but not asking anyone to change name or pronoun usage, it didn't really bother me that way. It would have bothered me more if I said, hey, I use they, them pronouns, call me C, do this, this, and then they continuous fucking up for like 8 months. Like,
yeah.
Why do that? Yeah. So I just didn't.
I mean, I did similar thing too when I started transitioning. You know, I didn't really require anybody to use the correct pronouns except for, you know, my partner and mm-hmm. her family who I was seeing regularly, but I was understanding of the adjustment and, you know, my family, because I expected my family should be able to do that. And then, you know, just new people that I met. Mm-hmm. And then my close friends. But I didn't expect strangers or acquaintances or those things to necessarily, I guess, know or necessarily,
yeah. Yeah,
you
fair.
Know, like, mm-hmm. But...
And this was when you first started.
This was right up until okay. probably when I started Hormones. And even, mm-hmm. I mean, I was very lenient in the beginning because I understood that, you know, it was an adjustment. So, like, the point being, doing that test, I just don't feel like would have worked for me either, because for me to tell all these people they needed to do something and them, first of all, not even being able to do that. So then how are they even really respecting
yeah.
that of me, like you were saying? But then also just as somebody who does identify within the binary, you know, I've been on hormones for 4.5 years and I didn't really like, I don't know. I never looked like a full, I think like a real, you know, like what people would say, like, oh, wow, that's like a guy. Like nobody would necessarily look at me and think I was a cis guy until like, I don't know, over a year on T. So like, there's no way to actually get that real life experience as like the male, like for me as like the male gender until I was passing and people mm-hmm. were treating me. Like strangers were treating me like mm-hmm. the male gender, because that I think is the real test. Like to me, the real test isn't the family necessarily mm-hmm. or the friends. It's the people on the street.
Yeah.
Because that's when you get like the male Lyft drivers who will talk to me about their, you know, sexual encounters. Like it's normal.
Yeah.
That didn't happen a year on T.
Apparently that's what cis men do.
That's what cis men do.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what cis men do. They love to talk about like these sexual things, and they love to do it with strangers, apparently, in all of my fun experiences. But that wasn't happening to me, mm-hmm. You know, 6 months on T or a year on T. That was happening to me 2 years on T, 3 years on T. Like, you know, so there's no way I could have gotten that real test of what it really means to be treated like a man in society until being on hormones and having people actually see that within mm-hmm. me. And I'm not trying to say that it doesn't make you a man if you're not on hormones or if you're on a different dose or any of that. I just mean that I think it's very hard to have this real life test of what to expect in society as one of the binary genders until you are being seen by society as that gender, you know, to the point where they're naturally treating you that way.
Well, I think it should go without saying that there's no scientific need for the real life test.
Right.
Like it's just more red tape that was put up by cishet people. That's all that it is. And that's why I think it's so frustrating, because there's no reason to actually do it. It feels like they threw up different, because I mean, it's also different. Some people or insurance companies mainly say, it's 6 months. You have to live as 6 months. Oh, it's a year. Oh, it's a year and a half. Oh, it's, you know, I don't feel like it's straight across the board.
Yeah. I don't think there's one way.
I don't know. There's no basis behind it, but it just seems like they're saying, oh, well, prove to us that you can do this, you know, for a year, say it's a year, before we'll give you access. And I don't know, is it access to hormones or is it access to surgeries?
You know, I think it depends.
I know
like in New Jersey, what I was told at the time, like 5 years ago, and also who knows, because we also don't get the right information necessarily all the time. So who knows
very
if this
true.
Was even true,
very
but
true.
I was told by the therapist I was seeing, I had to do this real life test before I could do hormones and before I could have top surgery. So it was like two things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving to Washington State, Seattle, like none of that was a thing. You know, they just operate under informed consent. So there was no real life test thing that was having to be done. You know, it was optional. Like I remember the person in Seattle that I saw said to me, you know, like, if you want to go out and see what this is like, you know, have you thought about that and whatever? And I you know, it was more of a question, just like, have you thought about doing this?
Yeah.
It wasn't like you need to, or I think you should. And I think having that option was really nice because the whole time I've just always felt like this real life test doesn't actually make sense. Like it misses a lot of little things. And like the ones we're talking about, non-binary people are again, like, erased. So you're forced to pick if you want to be a male or a female again, like when that doesn't even feel right. And then like, again, having to just like, you really aren't going to get the full experience until you're living it. And that's like, there's no way to kind of mimic those situations in like a test, you know, like we aren't experiments, you know, this isn't a scientific experiment where you're like, let's put this hypothesis to test. Like, you know, that.
Yeah, and it's just creating just an unsafe, you're putting our jobs at risk. You're putting our health and our physical safety at risk. You know, I mean, there does come a certain point of, I would say, almost safety when you come to a passable, you know, quote.
Totally.
We all hate that term, but passable point in your transition that, you know, it's safe for you to maybe walk home alone at night.
Yep.
More so than it would have been in your beginning stages of transition. It's safer for you to interact with a group of presumably cishet males than it would have been beforehand. It's safer for you to walk into the men's restroom to use that. Like, because I think that's also included in the real life test is you start using the binary areas of the bathroom, the changing rooms, the locker rooms, the anything that's segregated into
all of those things. Could you imagine?
Binary. No, I don't even. I still don't like
you pick
going
and choose
into men's rooms now. I avoid women's rooms at all costs because I to the point where it's too awkward.
Yeah,
and I just can't. I can't do it anymore. Would prefer to go into women's rooms. I do seek out family restrooms and stuff like that, but I still do not like to go into men's rooms at all.
Yeah. Well, you know, since you mentioned the family restrooms, you know, something. I was involved in a documentary for a Danish couple the other day, and something that they had shared with me, as I told you privately, that they don't have a non-binary identity in Denmark. It doesn't exist. And with that, I also learned that you have to use, you know, male or female bathrooms, and actually until you have all of the surgeries, you are not allowed to use, no matter how much you pass or how much you look whatever gender, you are not allowed to use the
legally
other bathroom. So like the trans man that I was with, he is only allowed to legally use women's restrooms, or he has to seek out, I don't believe they call them family ones, but he said specifically he has to seek out a handicap restroom.
Oh, okay.
And so then what he said he is doing is he's taking away a handicap restroom from somebody who actually needs it.
I always feel so bad for that.
Yeah. And so you're kind of like, well, I'm trying to take care of myself and get my needs met in this way that feels safe. But then I'm also hurting someone else in the process,
and you
potentially.
Feel guilty for it. Yeah.
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 So, you know, I think it just furthers that bathroom point of the test. Like, I couldn't walk into a restroom until, you know, I didn't comfortably walk into a men's restroom until closer to 8 months on T. Yeah. I wasn't regularly using men's restrooms. You know, and that was because I didn't feel safe.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel comfortable. Uh-huh. And so how are we expected to do that when we're not even on the hormones that we would potentially want to be on?
Or it also, and I feel like then it also, and it also, you know, it, once again, it enforces the binary.
Yeah.
It pushes you to need to pass by a certain time. You know, there's no room for kind of taking, like how I started in the hormones and still do, is like ease into it.
Right.
Take my time, do lower doses, stuff like that. There's really no room for it.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's one or the other. And I feel like other binary trans people would benefit from, you know, having the option or being told that, I don't know if they're calling it now microdosing or what, whatever, starting slower, easing into the changes, not going into a you know, a hard dose or a larger dose right from the beginning. So I don't know, it just takes out so many options, and it just, it wasn't made by us, so mm-hmm. it's not going to work for us.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe people have had experiences.
Yeah.
That they're grateful for living the real life test.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure there have been positive experiences for some for
yeah,
people.
I would hope
I
so.
Think,
dear God, I would hope
gosh,
so.
Gosh, I hope, yeah. But but I think overall, the idea of it just, it takes away our safety. And mm-hmm. then, you know, like you said, even just differentiation, identity, like our ability to decide how our journey goes. Like, you know, you just talked about, you know, you started and are still on a low dose. Like, my doctor did start me on a really, really low dose because I was worried about rapid mm-hmm. changes. Like, mm-hmm. I was worried emotionally how
yeah.
it would feel. And my doctor allowed for that. And that's how it should be. You know, mm-hmm. we should be able to say, like, hey, I want to start slow and let this ease in and see how I feel.
Yes.
Because, like, our emotions matter, too. It's not all about, like, the muscles and the beard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while both are great sometimes.
Well, and also to know that, like, that doesn't show hesitancy
yeah.
or a questioning if this is the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it even shows more of an informed decision sometimes
yeah.
of like, we realize what's going to be going into these hormones that we're going to be putting into our body. And so we do want to take it slow
yep.
because a lot of the changes are not reversible.
Right.
So yeah, of course we want to make sure that what's changing in our body is like aligning to how we know that, or how we think we know that we're going to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, and that doesn't say that we don't know what we're doing, or you know, we need to think about it longer. We need to live. That's not what that means.
Mm-hmm. General, like, concern for our well-being and safety
yeah.
should not be equated with, like, ambivalence. And
yeah,
it
shouldn't
be
docked
to be
points
made
against us.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be, this person is thinking with a level head. They obviously know what they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've thought about this and they know what they want to do. Like, let's work with this person to get them where they need to be. And, like, yeah, I think it also is just part of that gatekeeping too, of like, because then if you think about it, like you just said, you couldn't have done the real life test because your job could have been in even more danger of your job. So what that then is saying is, if your only option was to do the real life test, you're then having to decide, do I do this real life test so I can transition and become this person that I need to be? Or do I stay in this position of being who I've been stuck as, that doesn't feel good and doesn't feel like me?
Mm-hmm. Or I'm just going to lie to you.
Right. There's
or,
just nothing
or,
positive
yeah,
is coming
out.
That's
100% what's going to happen. If that would have been a requirement,
mm-hmm.
I straight up would have lied to whatever doctor or insurance company was requiring that.
Yeah.
And would have, because I was fully prepared to have to say, oh, I'm a binary trans person to get access
yeah.
to top surgery.
I remember us talking about that. You
I was
were
like,
really
I,
worried.
Yeah. I was like, I don't, like, if that's what it takes
yeah.
for me to get my surgery covered, then absolutely. That's
yeah.
what I'm going to do, because for one, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, for one, it's ridiculous.
And you're one of the most level-headed people I've talked to about their surgery process. Like, yours was incredibly long before you actually decided
yes.
on it. So it's funny to hear you say that you would have chose to lie, because my immediate thought is, no, you're not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you don't need to be like that, because
mm-hmm.
you do put so much thought. But I see where you are pushed to have to lie.
Yeah.
Just to be able
to
get what
to
you
get coverage
need.
That would have otherwise been granted, whether what it had not for me falling outside
yep.
of the binary.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was, like I said, that was for me too. Like, I would have had to wait a year for hormones and top surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So to wait a year when I've had already waited almost a year between, like, coming to the conclusion for myself who I was and then slowly coming out, that was like a year process. So then
yeah.
you're telling me I have to now wait another year.
Yes.
That, like, that, no, like, there was no way for me. I was like, absolutely not. I would
yeah,
rather
like
move
you had
across
already
the country.
Done so much thinking and processing
totally.
Beforehand. Like, that's also, it's taking out, you know, they like to hand out this pamphlet and say, all right, this is like the user manual for trans 101.
Yep.
And it's like for you, you had thought about this
yeah.
for a very long time before you walked in there. Sure, maybe there are some people who are like, hey, I thought about this yesterday and I can't find out, you know, it on the internet. Maybe they do go into a clinic
totally.
First thing or something like that. But I think for most of us, we've thought about this for an extended period
mm-hmm.
of time. That's not day one walking into a clinic. That's not usually where our journey
yeah.
starts, walking
mm-hmm.
through those doors, but it can make or break going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
That first interaction going into like a medical type of setting is going to either push us further towards pursuing it Or it may step back and say, like, I, like, with my negative experience that I've talked about mm-hmm. before, you know, it was, you know, it was very daunting. Like, I have to go to another place and mm-hmm. do this all over again. Am I going to be disrespected in the same way? You know, so there's a lot going into that.
Yeah. And, like, just as somebody who's had medical issues with transition, like, we end up having to see doctors and ERs enough, like, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, not most of us, but, you know, that is, like, a normal part of transition is we end up in the hospital a lot, and we end up with these different things that we don't really know what's going on. And we're going to have to do that throughout our transition, to have to start off our transition in just back-to-back medical environments that are invalidating us or not affirming us mm-hmm. or questioning us, like, we're going to get that for the rest of our lives. Like, it'd be nice to have like a little bit of time where we can just settle into these identities that we've waited for, you know, that we've had just within us and not been able to express Agreed. Them. And then let's like deal with the shit in a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, can we get a break in between?
Yeah. And if you're going to be a facility that requires these kinds of things, maybe not necessarily the real life test, but whatever, the amount of times I've disclosed my trans, I don't know, status, if you want to call it, on forms and put my preferred name on forms, my preferred pronouns on forms, and then to be called the other name. Like, then why am I bother wasting my time filling this out?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you about all my surgeries or about the testosterone that I take. Like, because then you're just going to turn around and ask me the same question in, or ignore in the room it. Or ignore it.
Ignore
yeah,
it.
So, I don't know, the bare minimum at any facility should be that they should be getting your name and your pronouns right.
Absolutely. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
If they can get the birth name right or the dead name right.
Yeah, right.
Why can't
you're
they
billing
get the...
you're billing insurance one way or the other yeah. with whatever name. Just like, can you at least treat us with some respect?
Yeah, totally. And hopefully that changes.
Or
but...
not insurance, because I don't have a job right now. So you're billing me, so get my yeah. name right.
So like, you're having to pay for it personally,
right?
So like, so... don't you get that at least?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, if anybody out there has an experience with being required to do the real life test, or how Nash ran into it and then said, fuck
rejected
that,
it.
And said, he sent it back.
Heck no.
And moved across the country and found a way that worked for him.
Yes.
Let us know.
Yeah,
sure.
And also I understand that that is not an option for a lot of people. Like, I'm very, very grateful that that was an option for me.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you like, if it's not an option for you, find other alternatives, find a new therapist that can guide you, find, you know, there's some great LGBT centers. Like, my next go-to was going to be Cal and Lord in New York City, or the Mazzoni Center in Philly. I have no experience with either, but I know people who do. And so that would have been my next like go-to of trying to figure out what to do mm-hmm. if I couldn't have relocated.
And I know people, I went to Howard Brown up in Chicago, and I know people who came over from Indiana and other surrounding states and went to Howard Brown because they operate under informed consent if you're 18 years old.
Right.
You don't have to have a therapist letter or anything like that. So there are other centers like that, that, you know, if you live on a close to a border state or something, you can look into that as well.
Yeah, don't feel like your options are like non-existent. Don't feel like what they are saying is the only way, because
yeah.
hopefully there will be another way. It's just a matter of researching or connecting with
and
others
also,
in the community.
Yeah, and
to
also
figure that out.
Your insurance. It's yeah, if you have insurance mm-hmm. or if not, you know, finding other places. If you don't have insurance, a lot of places will do sliding scales. A lot of LGBT centers, they may be further away, but they do sliding scales and stuff like that.
Yeah, but one thing I want to point out is taking hormones without a doctor is just not a good idea. It's not safe at all. So please don't take anything that we're saying as go online and order the hormones yourself, because that is nothing but dangerous.
Yes.
We need to be monitored by blood tests and everything.
I agree. 100%.
So the safety is the most important, and that's what we're kind of trying to convey here, I think.
Yes.
Overall.
I think it's very, very important to have a doctor be monitoring this. I mean, there's not enough research that's been done into the long-term, even short-term, long-term effects
mm-hmm.
of testosterone or estrogen or other. I mean, we only have the experience with testosterone.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's been a long, like, long-term test on that either.
Probably not.
So I just think it's
very
smart.
We are the test.
We really are the test.
I
mean, it's sad to say, but we really are,
yeah.
especially for a lot of the surgeries and the hormone replacement. Absolutely. So yeah, I think definitely within the first couple of years, you need to stay on top of your
mm-hmm.
doctor's appointments and don't go at it alone.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for watching us.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Transitional Wisdom. If you feel you'd like to share your story or if there's a topic you would like us to cover, please email us at nash@transitionalwisdom.org or visit our website, transitionalwisdom.org. And please don't forget to like, share, rate, whatever. It really helps us reach a wider audience of people who may find this helpful. And hey, thanks.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me. Don't you dare. Who knew I was